Welcome back to Become a Calm Mama. I'm your host, I'm Darlene Childress, and today is part of a two-part series that I'm going to do on being on the same page with your co-parent. This is a question I get often of like, how do you handle it when your husband or your partner isn't on board? Or how do you handle it when you're divorced and you don't know what's going on with the other parent or they're not aligned with your parenting philosophy? And the question really, I think underneath all of that is my kid going to be okay if my co-parent doesn't practice compassionate parenting? If my co-parent is harsh with my kids? If my co-parent is too permissive? So the fear under there is really about the future. Like, is my kid going to be okay even if my partner isn't on the same page? So the quick answer to this is yes, okay? And the reason why, just to get it right up at the beginning of this episode, is that when we think about the future and like, is our kid going to be okay? We have to understand what is required of being okay. Like, what does that even mean? So essentially, what we're looking for is what I think of as emotional health, right? So that's why a lot of my programs are like emotionally healthy kids, emotionally healthy teens. It's really, how do we set our kids up for success in their adult life so that they feel good, right? That they feel confident, that they feel that they love themselves, that they know how to be in relationships. And all of that requires emotional literacy. And what is emotional literacy? It goes to knowing what I'm feeling, being able to go inside of myself and know, like, if there's a difficult circumstance, I need to have self-awareness. If I'm aware of myself, if I'm aware of my feelings and I know what to do with those feelings, then I can kind of handle anything in life. So emotional literacy is I know what I'm feeling, I know how to talk about it, and I know what to do with them. So if you think about any kind of interpersonal relationship issue or interpersonal, like within myself, if there's a situation in my life that is difficult, then I'm going to need to process my emotion about it and talk about it and understand how to move through that feeling and what to do about it. Either changing my circumstance or talking to a person or changing the way I think about something. So emotional literacy is the core value that we have in this program of how do we help our kids grow up to be okay. So the good news, okay, the best news ever, is that you only need one person in your life to help you learn emotional literacy. It's great if you have two people, five people, a community, a whole society that is emotionally literate and aware and empathetic and helps people process their negative emotion. Phenomenal, when that's what my goal is to create a society where we have a bunch of emotionally literate humans, right? Healing the next generation in advance is my vision. But when you are in your own life with you and your family, and you might have an explosive parent or an overly permissive parent or a harsh parent or an emotionally disconnected parent that you are co-parenting alongside, and you look at how they're acting with your kid and you're like, wait a second, they are going to mess up my kid. They're going to unravel all the work I'm doing. They're messing it all up. And that creates fear for the future and it creates resentment towards your co-parent, whether you live with them or not. So I want you to have a fear-free and resentment-free experience of raising kids. So the way that we overcome that fear and that resentment is by understanding that all my child needs, this one, the one that I'm raising, maybe you've got a few, but all that they each need is one person who helps them understand their inner world. One person who helps them narrate and name what's happening for them. One emotional coach. I hope that just hearing that makes you go, ah, like a big exhale. because I know what it's like to have a parent, a co-parent. My co-parent is really great. Kevin and I've been married a long time, and you know, he's on board, right? We're on the same page, but we haven't always been, because I was learning all of these philosophies and how to be compassionate and empathy and growing my own emotional regulation. I was doing that before he was doing it. I kind of brought it into our lives. And so there was a lot of times early on, and even now, for sure, we both lose our shit sometimes with our kids or with our lives. Like, we're not perfect humans, but whenever he would act, you know, in his humanness and not be processing his emotion and not regulated, it would freak me out. I would like go in and intervene and, you know, run interference and triangulate me and the kids and him and kind of put him into like, he's the bad guy and I'm the good guy and the kids are the victim of their dad's behavior and all of this cuckoo land stuff that actually prevented Kevin from understanding the impact of his behavior on the kids. When I was always kind of, you know, hyper productive and managing everybody and, you know, intervening all the time, hyper productive in terms of like making sure everything worked well so that Kevin didn't get mad. Okay. Like a perfectionistic way of approaching my family, especially early on. Like literally, I'm on a tangent here, I'm sorry, but literally like when they were real little, I would know, oh my God, it's embarrassing to say this, but I would know he was coming home like at 6:45, 7, 7:30, whatever. He would text me, or we didn't really have text back then, to be honest. He would call me and he'd say, I'm on my way home. And then I would like get the kids together. We would like clean up the, you know, all the toys, and we would get ourselves settled, and I would like regulate the children, make sure they got all their wiggles out, let them know daddy was coming home. And I swear there was this part of me that was like, should I put a ribbon in my hair and like a nice dress on like a 1950s housewife and be ready for my man to come in? Like, ew. But my reason for doing that was fear. I didn't want Kevin to come home and mess up all the good work I had done with the children all day. So I didn't trust him, and I didn't trust the process. What I didn't understand back then, that I am teaching you right now, so you don't have to do what I did, is that you don't need to have every moment in every relationship with your children be perfect or be in the model, in the Calm Mama model, in order for it to work. Because when we define work it, like, does it work? All we're talking about is the long-term emotional health of our kids. Whew. So I want to get into some practical strategies of how to actually handle an explosive parent, how to actually talk about it with your partner or, you know, your co-parent if you're not partnered with them, and, you know, problem solve with you. But I really want you to understand that sort of no matter what happens in your child's life, there's going to be pain. There's going to be struggle. They're not always going to have it be go their way. They're going to not be invited to the birthday party. They're going to have, you know, problems in the class, and the teacher might correct them in a way that you don't agree with. They might not make the team. You know, they might have something tragic happen in their lives that is outside of your control. And you'll worry, oh my God, this is going to mess them up for life. Don't put that thought in your head. Just know every pain, every experience is just an emotional experience. And when you can process that pain, when you can move through it in a way that is, I know what I'm feeling. I know how to talk about it. I know what to do with it. And you keep reinforcing that, your long-term child can handle anything. The future kid that you're raising, you're giving them the resilience that they need for the future in real time now. It's beautiful. I'm excited about it. So I just want to remind you, like, your kids are going to be okay if you keep at the Calm Mama process. So let's break that down for a second, and I want to talk about like, what does being on the same page even mean, and where does it go wrong? Okay. So being on the same page essentially is my partner and I, or my co-parent and I, we have the same a parenting philosophy. Like, we agree on our parenting philosophy. So the Calm Mama process, the parenting philosophy is feelings first, behavior second. That's a really easy way to break it down. So you say, okay, do we agree that emotional coaching is important for our kids? That compassion, or helping our kids process negative emotion, is an important thing. So you can ask your co-parent, hey, what do you think? Do you value this? Do we agree? I think that's a really beautiful place to start. And asking, even if you don't live with your co-parent, right? Even if you could just be like, hey, you know what? I'm learning a lot. This is something that is really revealed to me, is really important to me. And I want to, you know, make sure that you're on the same page with me. And that is that I believe that feelings matter, and that it's important for our children to have a safe place to express those feelings and learn how to deal with their feelings. Are you into that? Are you, do you agree that that's an important piece? My guess is that most people would say yes. Especially if you have like this conversation about the philosophy. Most parents, we just blindly like move through our day and our life and, you know, that kind of thing. And we don't get to, you know, actually like big picture, you know, what are we doing here? I love having big picture, what are we doing here conversations, particularly with my partner. The second part of being on the same page is the approach to that philosophy, the actual strategies and tools that we use. So if you have a struggle with your co-parent, I would like you to kind of figure out, is it that we don't agree on the philosophy itself, or are the tactics or approach that we're taking in conflict? So just breaking that down is helpful. Now, how does this show up? Okay. If both people agree, right, that compassionate parenting is the goal, or like that's our approach, right? In the Calm Mama process, we have these four parts. We have calm, connect, limit set, correct. So sometimes the approach to the philosophy can break down in these areas. So the first is, it sounds complicated, it's not. First is calm, right? So essentially we have a human, a parent, who is either self-regulated or dysregulated. So if you have a co-parent who's like, I really am into this philosophy, but I have a lot of trouble self-regulating, then that means they need to be working on calm. They need to be working on their own stress management, their anger management, how they process their emotions, self-compassion, all of those strategies around calm. So that is an approach issue, right? They're not able to reinforce the philosophy because they don't have the skill of self-regulation. You cannot do the Calm Mama process when you are dysregulated. So that's why we always go back to the pause break. We always stop. We check in with ourselves. We calm our bodies. We calm our stress. We calm our minds. And then we go to connect. So the way that the being on the same page breaks down with connection is apparent. If you're in the process and you're in the approach, you're emotionally coaching your kids using the connection tool. Hey, honey, you know, you're screaming a lot. You're hitting your brother. You're spitting. You're throwing stuff. I wonder if you're feeling overwhelmed, right? So when you're naming that emotion, and we're narrating the circumstance, narrating the behavior, and we're helping our kids label what's going on. And then we give them a strategy, a now what strategy of like, makes sense. You're not allowed to hit your brother, but you are allowed to be overwhelmed. What do you need right now? What do you want to do to take care of yourself? Or you can set a limit. Like, you can come back once you're calm. Now, if the parent is not emotional coaching, right? If they believe that that's a value, but they're not actually doing it, then what they might be doing is emotional bypassing. So they're just like, hey, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. Just cut it out. You know, be tough. Whatever, right? If they are not allowing for the big feelings to come out, They may say, I believe in this, but then when it happens, they may not have the skill of emotional coaching, or they might be like, actually, I don't think their feelings really do matter. You can talk about that with your co-parent. You can be like, hey, I noticed that you're like, hey, cut it out. Stop crying. It's not that big of a deal. Are you trying to stuff their emotion? Are you trying to bypass it? Are you trying to, you know, shift them away from their feelings instead of allowing them to express their feelings? So you can, you know, look from a neutral place, especially if you're not afraid of the future. You're not like, oh, you have to be kinder. Oh, you're going to mess up our kids. It's like going to your partner or your co-parent, just be like, hey, I heard you say this and I'm just wondering, you know, is it aligned with the value that you have? You know, do you need some support of like how to actually let them have their feelings? To be honest, letting someone have their feelings is just letting them have their feelings. Just, you know, keeping people safe and making sure that, you know, they're learning new tools and strategies to process that emotion. Honestly, okay, so that's kind of the more traditional way of seeing somebody who is not approaching connect, you know, in the philosophy, like they're like shoving the kids' feelings down. But sometimes some parents are actually, they are emotional excusers, right? So instead of emotional coaches, they're emotionally excusers. Like, oh, you're sad. Okay. You can, you know, I'll give you another cookie. Or, oh, you're sad. And they don't, they just allow that feeling to just get stuck. And they just kind of get in this cycle of, you know, not really coaching the child through the feeling, giving the child strategies to cope with that feeling. It's just almost like an emotional indulgence. And then going, well, they're really tired. They're really hungry. You know, they're really sad. And that's why they're acting that way. But there's not any follow through. So you might see that. That's kind of the permissive parent model. So the other areas that I'll talk about next week are like around limit setting. Maybe you have, in our philosophy, we're doing logical limit setting, right? We're setting limits that get our kids to think. But maybe your co-parent is using limits as rules, like fear-based, harsh, a lot of commands, a lot of threats, a lot of emotional manipulation. That might feel like, you know, don't do that, right? Or you could have it where the person's like, who cares? No rules. Let's just let them stay up and eat cookies and it doesn't matter. And like, let's just be free. That might feel, you know, really difficult for you. So looking at the limit setting, it's like, if you're doing the model, you're at a logical limit setting, you know, follow through, shame-free, pain-free, logical and natural consequences, right? That's limit set correct. Or you might have a parent who's fear-based and punitive, or a parent that's no rules and permissive. So I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to talk about next week. I'm going to talk about limit setting and correction. But today I want to talk mostly about calm and connect and how to handle that. Because we do feelings first, behavior second, right? So that's, you know, I want to talk about feelings and then we'll talk about behavior second. Let's get into when your co-parent is dysregulated, when they are, you know, not calm, okay? And this can look like an explosive parent or needlessly critical, aggressive, insulting, using shame for discipline, shows up in any unhealthy way. What's going on there is that you have a parent who probably is overwhelmed or stressed. They are not calm. When a person is acting that way, especially with their kid, they don't want to show up that way, right? They're in their own overwhelm or their ego, like their own fear that their child's like getting away with something or being disrespectful, or that's not how I would talk to my parent. So they're in their own head, they're in their own emotion, and they're acting that out. Now, I used to be like this, right? I was not calm. I wasn't always able to manage my feelings and then help my kid manage theirs. I'm sure many of you are there in that spot where you're still learning about yourself and your self-regulation, and you're working hard at it and probably doing a pretty good job. And you look at your co-parent and they're having a rough moment and you're like, what is wrong with them? You know, but you're still doing the same thing. That's what I notice, is that I'm very critical of my partner and not as self-aware of like when I am losing my shit. I'm always like, well, I'm working on it, you know, it's fine. And he's like, well, I am too, but I don't have as much compassion for him, probably because I don't have a lot of compassion for myself. Anyway, your co-parent, okay, if they are having trouble regulating their emotion and they're explosive and they're emotionally checked out, or they shut down, or they walk away with a steely silence, whatever they're doing to cope with their big feelings, I want you to recognize that they are dysregulated. Now, they're not, it's not that they're a bad parent. It's not that they're a jerk. It's not that they don't care. Because if you come from judgment and criticism, you aren't going to be able to support that person. Honestly, even if you don't live with them, okay? Even if they've been a jerk to you and you are divorced and you can't stand them. Everybody in the world is behaving the way they are behaving because of their feelings. Either they don't know how to cope with those feelings, they don't know how to communicate with those feelings, or they're desperately trying to change the circumstance in order to feel better. That, it's like a control thing, right? So growing in your own compassion for your co-parent will help you help your family, because you won't come from fear and criticism. Now, I made mistakes as a parent. I acted my big feeling cycles out. I, you know, exploded on my kids. I had parenting temper tantrums. And then I would see their face. I would see their sadness. I would see the boys crying. I would see them, you know, harsh, turn away from me, any of that. And that experience broke my heart. It softened me and made me want to become a better person, better mother. I didn't want to show up like that, but I had to fail in order to change. So that might be you as well, right? You might have shown up in a way that's not calm and not the way you want to be. And that's why you listen to this podcast. You're like, no, that's me. I want to get all these tools, right? So you are learning and growing and partly motivated by your child and your relationship with your child. Because you want to have a good relationship with your child, and you want them to have a good relationship with themselves, and you want them to have a good relationship with the world. Now, your co-parent, they are also in a relationship with their child. And it's their job to decide how they want their relationship to play out as the child gets older. And it's their job to take action to create the relationship they want. Listen carefully. It's not your responsibility to preserve your child's relationship with their parent. It's not on you. Of course, there are things that you can do to support your child, to help them understand what's happening. You can help your co-parent learn self-regulation, or you can give them compassion and offer them tools if they're open. But ultimately, your responsibility is only to the emotional health of your child. And that might mean they need to process their negative emotion about their parent, like the other parent, and you can be available for that. But you don't need to run interference, because what happens is you prevent your co-parent from going through the entire process of, I lose my shit, I hurt my kid, I have to then apologize to my kid and fix it and deal with my own feelings of guilt. Now, not every person feels guilty. Some people feel shame, like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Something's deep and deeply disturbed. And then they can't deal with that shame, so the shame turns to blame. And they're like, it's not me, it's the kid. If the kid would just be, you know, stop being a jerk, I wouldn't need to be a jerk. So if that's where your parent, your co-parent is, that's where they are. There's nothing you can do about that. They have to just go through the process. So if your co-parent is in a dysregulated, explosive way, your role is to support your co-parent if that's possible, but mostly it's to emotionally coach your kid. So let me break that down. And I know this episode's going a little bit long, but I'm just going to get through it. So if you have a explosive co-parent, or a co-parent that has trouble with emotional regulation, there's a few different types of interventions you can have. So the first is a preventative conversation. Now, this is only possible really if you have a decent relationship with that partner and they are wanting to be on the same page as you with terms of parenting approach. So even if they're not, you can do this at any time, honestly. Like if you have an explosive parent, then I would love for you to have what I call a preventative conversation. So a conversation outside of the moment. You see a pattern and you go in and you discuss the pattern with the co-parent. So you say, you know, to them, this explosive behavior that you do, I understand you get overwhelmed, you get frustrated with the kids, you get angry with them. That makes perfect sense. I understand. I do it too. But my goal for this family is that everybody stays safe, and that includes emotionally safe. My goal for these kids is that they don't get dumped upon by us. So dumping your big feelings or blaming your kids or, you know, being explosive with them, that doesn't work. So when I see you acting this way, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to say, hey, everyone stay safe in this house. Please take a break. So actually going and telling your parent, your co-parent, when I see this behavior, I am going to say something. Because my role is to help our kids be emotionally and physically safe in this house. So I will intervene. So you're telling them in advance. And if you are really close, you know, you have a good relationship, you can be like, hey, what's going on? Do you want to show up this way with our kids? Like, I know you don't. So what can you do instead? And you create kind of a little system, right? Where you're like, hey, tap out. I'm overwhelmed. This has helped a lot in my relationship with Kevin. Like there's been times where I'm like, you need a break. Because I can see that he's doing too much, you know, he's like way overwhelmed. But like I said before, also sometimes I let it play out because it's on him to find his own way to regulate himself. But that took me a long time. I used to intervene every time. I used to have him like tap out every time and I would shut him down and shut his relationship with the boys down. And I've learned over time that it's better for him to go through the entire dysregulation process and then resolve it with the kids. But that can be hard and scary. Just depends on the level of explosiveness. Obviously, I'm not going to let my husband or my co-partner, my co-parent, like swear at my kids and call them names and stuff. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Or hurt them. Absolutely not. So intervention is really important if you sense that your children aren't being safe. But a little bit of like, what's going on with you? Why are you acting this way? Come on, man. I've told you 3 times. Like, you can let that play out a little bit and just see if your co-parent realizes like it's ineffective. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't solve any problems. All right. So how do you intervene when you're actually intervening? So when my co-parent is in an explosive incident, you know, especially if they're being physical, then I want you to feel confident. Like I feel confident. I say, listen, everyone stay safe here. This is not working. Take a break. So I would turn to anybody who's doing that with my child, whoever's in the house, a grandparent, a sibling, a babysitter. I don't know why I would have a babysitter that's that way, but anyone who is really, you know, hurting my child in the moment, I am going to say, your behavior's not working. Everyone stay safe here. Please go take a break. I want you to use that firm voice. It's a little bit like the hard no that we do with our kids. I want you to feel that leadership, feel that confidence, and not be afraid or resentment or bring all your negative energy. Just like, no, that's enough. That's not okay. Please take a break. Now, I realize that in some relationships, some dynamics with some people, if you were to intervene like that, it might create a lot of extra chaos. It might escalate that person. So, of course, I want you to always keep your kids safe and I want you to intervene on their behalf, but I also want you to be safe. So you might have to let sometimes things run their course, but again, don't let your kids get hurt. Okay. Like physically hurt. Don't let people hurt your kids. But, and if they are hurting, if your kids are getting hurt, then get help. But for the most part, a lot of times this is just like a lot of words, you know, a lot of yelling and things like that. And if you were to intervene and that would just escalate it all and it just turns into like even more yelling, then you can just let it out. And when it's a little bit calm, you can turn to your child or the children and say, you know, daddy is very upset right now. So we're going to let them have a break. You come with me. We're going to go into this other room and, you know, everyone stay safe here. So I'm going to move you. So even if you have an older kid, 12, 13, 14, you can intervene in the same way. Say, listen, you know what? Your dad's real upset or your mom's real upset. They need a minute. Come with me or go to your room for a minute. Just get the people out of the circumstance. So if you can't stop the aggressor, right? The person who's really dysregulated, the co-parent, and you can't kind of stop them, they're not going to reset. You can move the children. So I really want you to think about this in terms of harm reduction. You're trying to create some distance between the child and the other adult so that there's not so much disconnection and harm for your child. So it's the same thing as the hard no, right? I say, if a kid is hurting somebody, hurting another kid, like usually a sibling, I'm like, everyone stay safe here. This behavior does not work. You can be mad. You can't hit, right? And I say, if you want to hit, go over there, or you can hang out with us once you stop hitting, whatever. I set a boundary. And then the child keeps hitting, or they keep screaming, or they keep doing whatever they're doing. I would go, oh, okay. This isn't safe. So you turn to the other child and you say, you go to my room for a minute. So this is the same concept if you have one person who's highly dysregulated and you try to check them and they won't reset, then you just move the other children. Yeah? Okay. Now, this part, this last part is really important. So we have prevention, intervention. Now we have resolution. How do you resolve these kinds of things? How do we get our kids to, you know, feel like they understand what happened to them? When you think about traumatic events, a lot of times the reason why they become traumatic events is because the person experiencing that bad thing personalizes it and they mull it over and they don't ever process it with somebody. They never get it out. So the resolution conversation, what we're doing is we're going to narrate what happened and we're going to give words to it. Because the goal here is to separate the actions of the co-parent from the child. We want to help the child understand that these behaviors that my parent did are about my parent, not about me being a bad kid. I want your kids to go like, there's nothing wrong with me. That was a person who was dysregulated. Like even having the word. So what we don't want is for your child to internalize the messages that they might have received from their parent. We want them to know this has nothing to do with me. I might have acted poorly. I might have made a mistake, but their actions are because of their feelings. My parent acted that way. My parent yelled at me. My parent was mean to me. My parent did whatever they did because they had big feelings that they didn't know how to handle. So how do you do that? You go through and you first create facts for your child. Then you name the emotion. So the facts are daddy said this or mommy said this or this thing happened and then he said this and then he kicked this and he threw this and he said that. Like whatever happened, I want you to describe it. Because your child will make up a story about it and they'll add facts to it as if they don't get anybody to process it with them. And, you know, they have a big imagination. So we want to just kind of really name what happened, narrate what happened. And then pick one feeling that they might have been feeling while it was happening. I wonder if you were feeling a little scared, or I wonder if you're feeling confused. So you pick one emotion and that your child might be feeling, and then you name that emotion and let them say what they're going to say. Yes, it was really mean. I don't like when daddy does that. I don't like when mommy says that. I don't like how she talks to me. And you give them a place to dump some of that feeling and some of those thoughts so that they don't internalize it. So they don't try to make sense of it in their own head. Now, not every kid is going to talk. Some of them might feel disloyal. They don't want to talk badly about their parent. That makes sense. We don't need them to talk a lot in order for this to be effective. All we want to do is put their behavior on the outside and talk about it as a thing, as a circumstance that the child experienced. So it doesn't get mixed up into like, I'm a bad kid and that's why my parent acted this way. It's like, no, your parent acted this way because they had big feelings they didn't know what to do with. Now, your co-parent may not like this, right? And it's like, well, this is what is true. You were dysregulated. No, I wasn't. They shouldn't be acting like that. They need to learn. No, no, no. You go, okay, well, there's better ways to teach that. The truth is, the way that you handled yourself doesn't work. You were dysregulated. So if you don't live with your co-parent and your child goes back and forth, or they spend time, you know, with their parent and you don't know about what's happening, I really want you to know your job is not to become a detective and unearth all the dirt. That's not what I want you to do. Try to figure out what happened. And like, I know you do this if you don't live with your co-parent. And instead, I want you just to be attuned, just paying attention, noticing your child and talking about their behavior that they're currently doing. Like they come home after being at their co-parent at the other parent's house and they're really grumpy with you and they're, you know, they complain about everything. And so you just want to narrate and name and use the connection tool to let them process some of that emotion that might be stuck. And you don't ever have to really know what happened. So they may tell you eventually, especially if you're really neutral and curious about their feelings, not about the experience, just like, what is it like to be you, little kid? What is it like to go back and forth? What part is hard? What part is confusing? You don't need to ask all these questions. You're just open to seeing what they revealed to you. Whew, okay. Now, remember, the key takeaway here is that the parenting you're doing is not in vain because your co-parent isn't on board. Your child's other parent isn't unraveling all of your hard work. What you are doing is not pointless. So your child only needs one person to emotionally coach them in order to be emotionally literate, in order to grow up and be emotionally healthy. Isn't that amazing? You are the only person that your child needs in order to become the human that they are meant to be. Like, you are enough. What you're doing is enough. No matter how the other adults in your kid's life show up, you're enough. So really let that sink in. And next week, I'll talk about when your co-parent isn't on the same page in terms of limits and rules and things like that and following through. All right, this week, I want you to give yourself a little pat on the back because you're doing a hard thing. You're parenting your kids in a way that hasn't happened before, and I'm really proud of you, and I want you to be proud of yourself and have that hard conversation with your co-parent. It's not hard. Just have that conversation. Go over and say, hey, what's our approach here? Here's mine. Are you aligned with this? See what they say. Be curious. All right, mamas, I will talk to you next week.